Hello and welcome to Messy to Magnetic. My name is Katie Almstrom, and I am a money mentor and financial coach for women entrepreneurs. Each week, we tackle one messy money topic that my clients or our guests are navigating, and how they've moved through that mess to become magnetic with money. It is my hope that you're able to take the lessons and transformations in this podcast and apply them to your own business, money, and life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy as we go from messy to magnetic. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Messy to Magnetic. I'm interrupting all of these kind of short solo episodes with an interview, and it is with Michelle Vroom, who has been a coach of mine and is just an all-around awesome entrepreneur and leader in the online space for women in particular. Michelle is a business coach with more than 15 years of marketing and PR experience with nonprofits, agencies, and big corporations. And now she helps small business owners grow to six figures with more freedom and peace. And we all want more of that, right? Michelle believes every woman entrepreneur should be able to get clients whenever she wants. She understands the challenges of limited resources and time and shares her proven methods for visibility and relationship building to get clients and grow your business. And oh my gosh, that relationship building piece is something we talk about a lot in this episode, and it's everything when it comes to growing your business and making more money. So I am so excited to share this episode. We had such a fun time chatting, and I think you're just going to love Michelle as much as I do. Please enjoy our episode. Well, Michelle, thank you so, so much for joining me today on Messy to Magnetic. I've been trying to get you on the show for a while now, and and I just said to you before this, like, my throat, my voice, but we're going to roll with it. With like the holidays and things, it took us a little while, but I'm so thrilled that you're here now. And just like for listeners, I worked with Michelle a couple of years ago, growing my Facebook group and just working on doing really great challenges and events in the group. So she and I have a bit of a history working together, which is so wonderful. And I'm just thrilled that she's here because I love the work that she does and the just modeling she does for entrepreneurs. So with that, Michelle, will you please just give us a brief introduction? And I'm so excited to chat money with you today.
Oh, I'm excited too. Thank you for having me. This is such a treat to be able to like catch up like this. So thank you. I'm a business coach who specializes in marketing. And essentially what that means is I help you get clients. I help you make the money, right? I'm all about helping women become the provider. That's really, truly my $1 million vision. And that looks different for everyone, right? When I say provider, like everybody has their own definition of what that looks like. Really the purpose is I want you to feel like you are in control of making money in your business, that you are in control of signing clients. You're not waiting for other people to do it for you. I'm a big believer in that. And so everything I do is really centered around that. My offers are centered around that. I've seen the power of how that's changed things for my family and my business, which I know I'll be sharing, kind of as we talk today. I started my business almost 8 years ago, believe it or not. I'm coming up on my 8th anniversary. Feels crazy. But I started my business 8 years ago when my oldest child, I have three boys at home, when he was 6 months old. So I really wanted an opportunity to just be able to be independent and pursue my dreams. And now I get to do it for other women. And I love it. I love it. It's hard, right? And when we talk about money, like there's a lot of challenges that come up with that. But I honestly wouldn't trade it for the world. So
I love that vision. And the way you just articulated it, like being the provider can mean different things to different people.
Yep.
However, like there's just this major, I think, just cultural, generational, educational sort of gap where women just have not typically been the providers.
Nope.
And so like the way you are able to sort of coax women towards that vision and help them sort of define what it means, because it is such an unknown for so many of us. And it's very similar to sort of the
the messaging and the vision I have for money is like, it's just not something that has been in the hands of women for very long. And making that jump to, I'm fabulous with money. I love money. I, you know, like it can be a big jump for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so really like having the patience to work with women where they're at. And I say patience, like in the most loving way, because we all have our, you know, just generational and cultural issues with money and business and providing. And so just having the space, I guess, to work with women, talk with women, and make these topics less taboo and more normalized is so important. So I just love that you're doing that.
Yeah, you too. And we're doing it in different ways, but like both ways marry together really nicely, you know? It also, a lot of it is too, like, how did you grow up, right? Like I grew up with a mom who stayed home with us, right?
Same.
Like definitely, I think most of us probably grew up in a very traditional setting. You know, my husband and I are, I would say, outside of the traditional norm, right? Because we're both self-employed, like at different points, he's been more of the provider than I have. And we've, you know, kind of switched back and forth. But, you know, we've even had to have different conversations that I'm sure look very different than like the conversations that our parents were having because they were in such a traditional provider relationship. So it is different. It's changing. And I think that's a good thing, but I also think it does bring up a lot of challenges.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about, so when I invite business coaches on women who work with money, or women who work with women to make money, I really want to like have some solid, like hot tips and just think like focus points for my listeners, because that is not something that I excel at. I want you to come to me and we're going to like keep the money. And you're the expert with like bringing in the money.
So
let's chat about some of that. And then I think some of the other topics of like the mindset shifts that need to happen, limiting beliefs will come up.
Yep.
So what to you, like what feels like the most important couple of things for women in business, women entrepreneurs to be focusing on when it comes to being a provider? Because I imagine that means consistency and a lot of autonomy, a lot of self-responsibility in the business as a CEO. So how, like, how do you teach that? What's your take on that?
So I feel very strongly about this, even more so now than ever before, because as the market has grown, the online market, and you have more people coming in and starting businesses online, you also have a lot of opinions about how to make money. And what I have seen recently, and when I say recently, probably like the last couple of years, is just this overwhelm, right? In terms of how do I make money? What strategy should I be focused on? And you have, you know, people listening to a lot of different pieces of advice and utilizing strategies that are not appropriate for where they are at in business. Mm. And so when we talk about providing and we talk about bringing in money, you know, I believe any strategy has the ability to work. Like there's not a cookie cutter, like you have to do one thing. I think that just puts so much pressure on people. But I do believe that certain strategies are better for bringing in money faster at certain points in your business than others. And so what I mean by that is, you know, depending on where you're at, like if you're brand new to business and you're like, you know, or you're brand new, let's say, to selling online and you're like, I just want to get a couple of clients fast. Like maybe I don't have an existing audience or whatever. The advice that I give to you is going to be different than someone who's taken time to build an audience. And yes, you need all those things, but you don't need them all right now. Like I think there has just, you know, one of the biggest barriers, I think, to women making money and providing, and then I will get into like what strategies I recommend and the tactical stuff here. But what I think is a big barrier is trying to do too many things at once to make money, trying to do all the strategies at once to make money. And then it slows you down. And then you have women who are giving up or who are, you know, switching like offers or switching this or switching that, when in reality, what you were doing could work if you had a strategy that you can stay consistent with, which is then in turn going to produce consistency. And I just think that's not being talked about enough in the marketing space. And I want to talk more about it. With that said, you know, if you're someone, again, who just wants to get some clients quick and you don't have an audience, or you just are like, what's the fastest path? The fastest path is going to be going out there and building relationships. I think building relationships and networking in other Facebook groups is an amazing way to do that, just because of the sheer amount of people using groups. I think it's like 2 billion people use groups every single month or something crazy like that, right? You know, you can do it also in your own backyard locally. Like I know through my Chamber of Commerce, that was a huge opening for me in terms of being able to build some really great solid relationships. I do know, though, from having worked with some moms, and I don't think this is just exclusive to moms, but because I work with a lot of moms, it's like, well, what do I do if I can't leave the house, or if I'm struggling to like get out there to in-person networking events? Go do the same thing online. And I think Facebook groups are a great place to start. And when I say building relationships, I mean, just get out there and tell people what you do. Like, don't do it with the, you know, under the guise of like, you need to hire me, right? And that's the only reason why you're building relationships. Like, just build relationships. I mean, I can't remember where you and I met. I think it was probably Boss Moms, right? Our initial connections were not, you're going to hire me? Like, let's work together. Like, it developed organically because we were following each other and building that relationship. And relationships will always be the backbone, the foundation of your marketing, of your business. Relationships will always make you money. And I think we live in a world where people want instant gratification. They're like, how can this make me money tomorrow? And what's interesting is if you don't focus on that and you focus on the relationship, you will make money faster. So that's what I would recommend, you know, in any circumstance to anybody who just wants to sign a few clients fast. At some point though, right? Like referrals are great, but there's going to be gaps where you're like, okay, they're not, you know, my referral partners aren't sending me leads, or, you know, maybe there's a gap in terms of the networking and I want more, even more consistency. And that's where I recommend people build their own audience. It doesn't have to be a Facebook group. I know you and I both have groups. It could be, right? It really depends on like, how do you like to build relationships? It could be essentially an audience or a community on any platform. But I think that really takes consistency to a new level, because instead of going out and chasing leads, right? And there's no problem with chasing leads. At some point in your business, you need to do that. But then you also need to be bringing the leads to you and creating the community of leads. And that, I think, has really served myself and my clients well, the people who have that, because that's what brings more consistency, you know, down the pike, right, in your business. What I see is a lot of women will like spend all this time doing behind the scenes stuff in their business, creating all this content, and they don't have an audience yet. And so I'm like, okay, content creation is great example. Content creation is an amazing strategy. It's something that I teach my clients, but I don't teach every single one of my clients in all my programs how to create content, because some of them don't need to focus on that. Now, once you have an audience built that is nurtured, yeah, you do need to focus on content. You do need to focus on creating content that's going to sell your offer for you, but it's all about layering on skills. And I think that is how you make money the fastest. You know me, I could keep talking about
it. I love that. I love that. Well, and I absolutely love that you started with relationship building, because truly that is something that you can always go back to as a foundational always. Piece. Like, yep. And it's almost at every level of business. You kind of want to like go back there and just sort of reestablish what you're doing and reconnecting with the relationships that you have built. And, you know, a lot of times if you do take the time to build relationships and nurture them over time in your business, you know, a year, 18 months, I mean, we haven't had a conversation in quite some time, like to reconnect with an old relationship and be like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh my gosh, there's like this totally new collaboration opportunity. Or, you know, like, oh, I didn't know you were doing that now. Yeah. I have a few interested, you know, clients in that kind of an offer. So really like reconnecting with relationships and continuing to strengthen that muscle, because I mean, it's everything in business. So
it really is. I mean, okay. So at the time that we're recording this yesterday, I signed 2 clients because of relationships. Mm-hmm. One was a current client who wanted more support, so she decided to work with me 1-to-1. Another was a past client who I haven't worked with for probably 6 months, maybe more, and is like, I need some more support. I'd like to, and like, why did they come back? Because of the relationship, right? Because they known me for a few years now. And I don't want people listening to think like, oh, it's going to take years to, it doesn't, right? Like I had one time landed a client, a short-term client, like I think within 24 hours, because I was networking in other Facebook groups, and that turned into a longer-term relationship. So you can get a lot of quick wins. You can make money fast doing it. But it's a short-term strategy and a long-term strategy. And I think if you always keep that long-term lens, that's what's going to get you more in the short term too.
Well, and I think, like you said, do one short-term strategy at a time.
And then layer on. Once you get really good at that, then layer on. Like if you try to do too much at once, you're going to burn yourself out and you're going to actually close yourself off to making money. And I just don't see enough like coaches and experts talking about it. I'm like, no, like people don't need to be focused on making reels when they don't even know how to build relationships or they're not actively doing it. Like then you just sit behind the scenes and you're not actually speaking to people. And that's when the money train, so to speak, gets interrupted.
Amazing. So I'm going to sort of present an entrepreneur case study for you and just curious sort of like how would you sort of talk her through this? So this would be, you know, a woman who has been in business for probably, you know, 18 months, 2 years, has had clients in the past and is really kind of just feeling a little tired and a little burnt out in her business because it feels like nothing I'm doing is working. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's always more to the story. So listeners, bear with us. But, you know, you probably see that kind of a post in, like you mentioned before, boss moms, right? A big Facebook group where someone is like, oh, I'm so burnt out. I'm so, you know, frustrated with my business. I'm thinking about burning it all down, starting over. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you recommend to her? And usually, I just want to say one more thing here. From sort of my perspective, a lot of times there's a lot of money stress tied to it, where there's a lot of desperation, right? I have to sign a client or else, or at least there's that belief or that feeling. I'm curious what you would say to her.
I 100% think it's the money stress and expectations, and they're just doing so. I already can tell from hearing you say that, and like I've seen those posts for sure, they're doing too much. I'm like, of course you're burnout. You're doing too much. You don't have a clear goal of what you're working toward, right? And it's always just like, how do I get a client now? How do I get a client now? How do I get a client now? Where I would start is really try to look at like the facts.
While we're talking all things money and mindset, I wanted to invite you to my upcoming free live masterclass where I'll be sharing the 3 secrets to become the CEO of your money in business and in your personal life. I'd love to see you there. Save your seat now at katiealmstrom.com/masterclass. Or you can DM me on Instagram at katie_Almstrom, the word masterclass, and we'll get you registered straight away.
And say, okay, if we remove the emotion behind it, right? Not discounting the emotion, but just put it aside for a second. What do the facts tell us? Because there are always things that are working. There are always things that are not working too, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's 50-50. Life and business are 50-50. Nothing's perfect. Nobody's business is always working perfectly in every area. I've got 10 things right now in my mind where I'm like, we could be doing a better job with this, you know? But what is working? Like focusing on that first, because I think for most of us, our brains go straight to like what isn't working. And then we don't have any ideas, right? Because we feel so defeated. So I would put aside the emotion and look at the facts and say, like, what is working? One of my coaches has said over and over again, like, success leaves clues. And I totally believe it. Even if that person's like, I haven't gotten a client yet. Okay, like, where have you seen conversations emerge, right? Where have you seen some of those relationships emerge? Where have you seen the leads emerge? Because oftentimes it's really about looking at what has already worked and maybe shown progress, right? Like, progress is more important than the end result because that's how you know you're on the right track. And so what has shown progress and how can we do more of that? And what does that mean in terms of what do we need to let go of? So I would start to like really dig into that because chances are they're trying to do too much. They're trying to do too many strategies, too many things. Maybe they were told they should. I think if we feel burnout, we're also like shoulding all over ourselves, right? It's like, mm-hmm. we're constantly like, I should do this. I have to do this. And it becomes a checklist, right? Like I talked before, you know, many times in my community about just checking the boxes. And how that doesn't work. It doesn't produce the results you want because there's no intention behind it. There's no passion or excitement. And so I would want to dig into that and really help that person find that passion and excitement again. And then look at what they need to let go of too. And then I think that will start to probably unpack some of the other pieces that are going on behind the scenes.
I love that. Yeah, I totally agree. A lot of times it is just a let's take a deep breath. Let's take a fear inventory. Let's, look at the facts. Let's just kind of boil it down to what's actually going on here.
Yeah.
And with a clear head, what's the next best step, right?
What's the next best step? Exactly. And also digging into that will show me where and why they feel like they need to take on more. And
Amazing.
That probably where we'll get into some of the limiting beliefs, some of the money pressure. Like that tends to be as soon as I start digging into like, okay, if this is what's showing, progress, or this is what's leading to results, why are we doing this? And even just asking that question, and not in a judgmental way, but just from an open, honest place, my clients will start to be like, I don't really know. Or I added it because I was feeling stressed or pressure or had an expectation. And that's when we can get into some of the mindset stuff too.
So let's kind of flip the conversation a little bit. When you think about your clients right now who are just killing it in the online space, they're making sales, they're being consistent, they're bringing in consistent sales.
Yep.
What are they doing? And what do you think is sort of the number one belief or mindset shift they've had to cultivate or make in order to do that?
All right, I'll take the doing first and then go to the mindset shift. They 100% have audiences that they have nurtured. They are putting themselves in control of leads. And when I say nurtured, not like they're selling 24/7 to their audience, like they are actually legitimately growing an audience, building relationships. They're talking with authority, like speaking with authority about their expertise. They're clear on who they're targeting, like all of that. I mean, they have people who trust them. Everybody's saying, and I know you hear this too, we all hear it just by nature of the world that we live in. People aren't buying. They're not buying anymore. It's too hard to make sales. Da, 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 da. And I'm not saying that there haven't been changes to buying habits. I 100% think there have been. But people are still buying. They're buying from people they trust.
Yeah.
So my clients who are killing it have built and continue to build that trust in whatever community or audience they're growing. So that's kind of hands down, like, it's not a negotiable thing anymore. You need an audience of some kind. You need people who trust you if you want to make consistent money.
Yeah. So that sounds like thought leadership and relationships. I mean,
exactly.
Again, relationships.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. in terms of the mindset, an emotion comes to mind that I think they're really tapping into. And I say this both on behalf of my clients, but it's also been something I've really tapped into that I think has always helped and helped me get to where I am. Curiosity. They are not okay. It doesn't mean that they don't come to me and they're like, everything is horrible and I want to burn it all down. Like once a quarter, I tell my husband, I'm going to burn it all down and go work at Starbucks. And he's like, no, you're not. You would be terrible there. They would fire you probably after day one. And he's like, and you're not. And I'm like, you're right. I'm not. I just like to make sweeping dramatic statements like we all do. Right. So those clients will still come to me and like feel like they need to burn things down. And I talk them off the ledge, but overall, I will say they have a lot of curiosity. Like, I wonder who my next client will be. I wonder who's interested. Like, instead of assuming people aren't interested or assuming people aren't going to buy, right? They just have so much curiosity. And I think when you come from that place, and speaking from personal experience, you're more willing to put yourself out there and not get as, distracted by failures or things that don't work out according to plan. So I would say that's probably the biggest thing.
Well, and so many things you've already said really tie into that. I mean, number one, if you have a very specific strategy that you're following and sort of one focus point, it's a lot easier to look at the data. It's a lot easier to be curious because you know exactly what you're looking for. And you also mentioned like do what works. So what already has worked, what hasn't worked and what has worked and do more of that. So really focusing on that is going to, make it easier to have that mindset shift of I'm curious about this because I'm being strategic and I know that this has worked in the past.
And I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. They are all in on their business. They are relentless about just working the plan, even though it's very uncomfortable. So for me, like I'm going to always figure it out. There's always something new to try. There's always a new solution. 100% has gotten me to the place that I'm at. And I'd like to say everyone has that. A lot of people don't. And they could, right? But they're thinking like success lies outside of me. Success lies in having a shiny strategy that everyone's telling me to get, or success lies in having the best offer or whatever. They're so focused on success being attached to external factors that they're not realizing that like your commitment is actually what drives results, right? Something else that I just thought of when you mentioned, like, go back to what's working, you know, money and revenue is a lagging indicator of what you've been doing, right? Like, it's not the money shows up last, right? It's like, if clients are telling me I'm not getting the results that I want, I'm like, what have you been doing for the last 90 days? Because that's dictating the results that you have currently, right? When money is a lagging indicator, you know, I can tell in my own business if I've gotten away from the things that were working, because what happens? I see a dip, you know, and it's not fun to experience that, but it's also can be really empowering if you let it, because it's like, wait, I have control even in the dips, right? Because the dips signal to me that maybe something has shifted and I've gotten away from what was working. And I just want to say that too, because dips are also part of the experience. And I think if you, instead of panicking, if you allow yourself to look at the facts, to look at the numbers, to look at like what actions have led to that dip, it's actually going to put you in a place of control.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Just that empowered CEO provider mindset that I can get information and learn from anything that's happening in my business because I know what works. I know what doesn't work.
Yeah.
Can we talk about you a little bit and your
Please
experience?
Yeah.
I have some fun questions. Okay. Yeah. So first off, I would just love to know personally what has, and you can sort of answer this either way, either what has been just the most surprising to you about money as you've grown your business, or, and maybe you want to answer both of these, or what lesson have you learned from your journey about money specifically?
The lesson that I've learned specifically, and it sounds basic, but like I didn't really realize it until I started selling. You know, when I started my business, I have marketing experience. I have PR experience. I didn't have a lot of sales experience. Now I have some natural sales skills that I think have helped, but I had to really learn how to sell and not just sell a product, sell me because I'm the product, right? If you're a service-based business, you're selling yourself. And that was hard because what it made me do is it made me face all of the money junk, right? That had been hiding inside of me. Like selling your offer will bring that up. And so I would say one of the lessons I've learned is you cannot really sell something that you don't feel sold on yourself. And so there's been so many times over the course of my business. And by the way, this isn't a newbie problem. You know, I've been making multiple six figures the last 5 years in a row. And I still encounter this sometimes where I'm like, I thought I was sold on this, but I'm not. And guess what? The sales or lack thereof show that I wasn't totally on board. And so I think that's been a huge lesson and a huge reminder for me. And I think it's helpful for everybody to hear that you can't sell something that you yourself don't believe in, that you're not passionate about, that you're not on board with. And so if you are, you know, having a harder time selling something, and it could be a new offer that you created, right? You know, figure out, like, really look at what's going on there, because oftentimes it's not that people don't want it. It's not that the price is terrible or the offer itself is terrible. It's you and your own belief about it. And I think that's been the biggest lesson that has always served me. Your first question was in terms of what was, remind me again.
What surprised
question.
You? Yeah. Just what surprised you about money?
Yeah. What surprised me about money is how capable I am of making it. And
I
love
say
that like laughing, because I have to imagine I'm not the only one. Like, I don't think I would ever have imagined making the amount of money that I've made over the course of my 8 years in business. Like, my family's life has changed completely as a result of it. And I knew going into business that, you know, I wanted a career for myself still. I wanted the independence. I wanted the time freedom, but I don't think I gave a lot of thought to the financial freedom. So I've surprised myself by how much I've been capable of and how much I've been capable of even when things are messy. Like, I've made a lot of money and felt like a mess sometimes. I've made a lot of money and things have not been perfect. The kids have been really sick, or the babysitter's canceled, or things have blown up. Like, I have felt tight on time and tight on energy, right? Like, I feel like there's also this belief that the circumstances and the situations have to be perfect, has to be the perfect environment to make a lot of money. And I have not found that to be true either. It really goes back to like your commitment, your tenacity, like your perseverance, your grit. And that has been a pleasant surprise, you know, is to realize how much I'm capable of and how much I actually am in control of when I focus on what I can control, which is myself, right?
I love it.
Yeah.
Great answer. I love it. All right. Last couple of things before we wrap up here. So this is a two-part question, and you've had a little time to think about it now. I sprung this on Michelle right at the beginning. So the first piece I think that's really fun is, what are some things, or maybe one thing, that you don't spend money on that you think people might be surprised to hear? And you can answer that any way you want,
yep,
of course. And then the second piece is, what is something that you love to spend money on that's very just sort of unique to you, and like it's something you wouldn't let go of?
Yeah. I don't know if people will or won't be surprised when I give the answer of like what I don't spend money on, because there's two things in particular. I don't know if these will be surprises or not, but these are the two things that came to mind when you asked the question. The first is clothes for myself. I am not like, I wouldn't consider myself a stylish person. I think that I can put, you know, I can obviously put an outfit together. Like, I don't look like crazy, right? But I am not really a very stylish person. Like, I don't know the latest trends. Like, I'm a geriatric millennial, whatever they call us now,
Same.
right? And so, yeah, you are too. And so it's like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the trends. Like, I don't know hair trends or style trends or makeup trends or whatever. I'm actually incredibly basic, and I don't spend a lot of money in that area. So I don't know if that's going to be surprising or not to people, but that's that. And then the other thing that we don't spend a lot of money on is travel, which I think some people might find surprising, because I know travel is a big deal for a lot of people. We are homebodies, and so we would prefer to invest and spend our money, you know, on our home and like things for the home, like putting a basement in, finishing a basement for the kids, you know, stuff like that. My husband and I actually took our first vacation in 11 years of marriage last year, and we had to like force ourselves to do it, which again, I think sounds crazy to people, but it doesn't mean we don't go away on like weekend trips and stuff, but like actual travel and vacations is just not where we put our money. You know, we could, we just choose not to.
So I did a podcast episode a while back that was five things I don't spend money on. And those were two of the things.
Okay. So you get it. Okay. I don't feel like a crazy person, because people are like, travel, you guys don't travel. You don't go on a lot of vacations. And I'm like, no, we really don't. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the stage of life, but I think it's us.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it could be a combo. It's a season. Yeah, I mean, and who cares?
Who cares? Like, it's just,
who cares?
Not, yeah, like, I would rather spend it. Like, we're like, okay, next thing in the house is going to be the master bathroom. So, like, stuff is expensive. And again, like, it's where you prioritize, right? Like, we also have a lot of investments in stocks and things like that, because that's important to us, obviously, to save for the future, too. So, yeah, I don't know if that'll surprise people or not, but we really don't do a lot with travel.
I think it's just nice to share that and hear that, because I mean, when you're an online business owner, you see a lot. And so just to sort of hear someone's real lived experience can be so normalizing and important. Well, so,
and like, if I, you know, when I'm working towards seven figures in my business. So when I get there, I'm still not going to probably be like traveling in first class. I don't care about the purses or the expense, and I'm not knocking anybody who does. It's just, that's not where I go. It's going to be like we're saving up for a shore house, right? We're saving up for like a vacation home. Like, that's where we want to go. Cause again, we're homebodies. So that would be like maybe our travel element. But so yeah, that would be the stuff that we don't spend money on.
Love it. What do you love to spend money on?
What I love to spend money on are just like the basic things, like books, Kindle books. I love, like, if my husband said to me, I got the kids, it's a Saturday, like, I got the kids for the full day or half a day, like, you go do your thing, I would head immediately over to my local Barnes and Noble, and I would get myself a coffee or a hot chocolate with like a blueberry scone, and I would read some books to see, like, read the beginning of the book to see, like, do I want to buy it? And then I would go buy a bunch of books. So that would be like 100% my thing. I think anything related to books, blankets, like cozy items, slippers, like, that is what I will spend my money on. Cause I just love, like, I don't know, the feeling of comfort. Like, I have to have a blanket on me when I'm watching a movie, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's actually incredibly basic stuff that I like to spend money on. I love reading, like, nothing better in my mind. So I would
we were
say,
just chatting about this on Instagram.
Yeah.
We were just chatting about our favorite authors.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had me at coffee and blueberry scone. I think I went to Barnes and Noble and did that every weekend for years, like back in my 20s. We don't have
That's
a good one now,
place.
But
I
it's so good.
Imagine if we live local, we could go together. But
I know. I was just
we'll
going to say, like,
I'll take a picture next time I'm there and I'll send it to you. I'll be like, here I am. But it's just, I don't know, like, I don't know if it's just to, again, the stage of life, like having young children, to be able to go and just like have that comfort. And books for me are also an escape, you know, and I don't read, I listen to a lot of business podcasts. I actually don't read as many business books as I think people would think I do. I actually read a lot of like just fiction books that kind of allow me to de-stress and like sort of just, so I would spend money happily on all of those things. I think comfort stuff for the home is just where I'm at. Like, that's what I love. That's me. You know, I was always that kid though. In high school, I would be like in on a Saturday night wearing a bathrobe, reading a book. And I say to my parents now, I'm like, you were lucky. I was a great kid in high school. You'd have to worry about going to parties. Michelle's home. She's upstairs in her bathrobe on a Saturday night. You know,
I think that's so important though. Like, it does all seem like very basic, as you say, but that advice, just to especially newer entrepreneurs who do have that kind of overwhelming feeling, having an escape from your business is so important. Whether it's, I mean, unplugging from the business podcast, unplugging from the content, unplugging from what other people are doing and what you're doing, and being able to ground in like, who am I? What do I love? What's important to me? And spending some time and energy and money on those things is so, so important. So that was like the perfect sort of just imagery of like, here's a really successful entrepreneur understanding that unplugging and rest and like doing what really actually feels good to you and living a lifestyle that really actually feels good to your family is so important. So I love
that.
Yeah,
and like I play Mario Party with the kids on the Wii, and that's, again, it's all based on home stuff. We don't even go out to a lot of restaurants. My husband and I will happily spend money getting takeout and bringing it back and like watching Suits on Netflix, which is our
favorite. Are we the same person?
I think we're the same person. I love it. I think we're the same person. Yeah.
We just finished Suits.
Did you? Oh my gosh. We're on season 5. We just got started. I've heard that's the best season.
So it gets, oh my gosh, they get so good. Yeah. So okay. Anyway, all right. We need to wrap this up. Thank you so, so much for just all your insight and for being here and talking to all the incredible women who are listening. I would love, before we wrap up, just share where's the best place for people to come hang out with you, because I know they're going to want to. And if there's just anything else you have going on that you want to share here, that would be awesome.
Yeah, the best place to hang out with me is in my Facebook group, Market Like a Boss. So I will show you how to make the money that then Katie will help you figure out how to keep more of. So you can join there. And we've got like a ton of great just practical tips. I also have a 30 days to new clients calendar, which kind of goes back to like the principles of relationship building. It's great for new entrepreneurs, but it's also great for people who are like, I just want to get back to that. It gives you practical, tangible steps that you can take every single day for 30 days to go get your next client. So if you download that and you join the Facebook group, like there's some videos that go along with that. And I just try to give as practical, you know, of information as possible, because I know marketing feels complicated and overwhelming. And so my hope is to simplify it, but also show you that you're in control. So definitely join the Facebook group. But if you want that calendar, I'm happy to pass along the link.
Yeah, we'll definitely put both the group and the calendar in the show notes, and definitely join Michelle's group. It is loaded with tutorials and videos, and Michelle's live in there. There's a lot of great, I literally just today posted a market research question in there. It's really great for connecting with other business owners, market research, just kind of like being with others who are figuring this journey out. It feels very educational and very like we're all in this together. So great group to join. Make sure you get over there. And again, Michelle, thank you so, so much for being here. This is awesome.
Thank you for having me. This is a blast.